Welcome to the conversation from a man's perspective. This is the place where we dialogue about religion, politics, relationships, dating, and social issues. The purpose of our conversations are to stimulate positive communication, thus creating a more harmonious atmosphere. Under the umbrella of Black Pearl Image Consulting, we also hold self-esteem building workshops with powerful motivational speakers to get you to the next level. Here at Black Pearl Image, we bring out the gem in you because we focus on the inner image first and the rest will follow. So check us out at blackpearlimage.com and book your next intimate conversation with one of our panelists. Also, a self-esteem building workshop with our motivational speakers. See you there.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations from a Man's Perspective. I am your host, Levanna Forrest. I know I've lost touch with some of you due to our schedule changes, and I do apologize for that. And if you're missing us live, please check out the archives at your leisure. I will share the dates for the remainder of the year, and I will place them on my website at blackpearlimage.com. But before we go any further, please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for another day, allowing us to share and to encourage our listeners. Lord, we pray that our conversations only encourage and provoke positive thoughts in the minds of those listening now and in the future. Amen. Now, before I give you the date, I'll let you know our guest today is Randy Payne from Washington, D.C. Randy, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I am wonderful. Randy and I will be talking about love, one of the hot topics. I think that's always the hot topic. But before I get into the introduction of him, these are the dates. August 18th. Our guest will be Leona Dinkins of Columbia, South Carolina, and Bishop Kevin Long of Charlotte, North Carolina. We will have a conversation with them regarding biblical marriage versus a committed relationship. And we'll also include interfaith marriage during that conversation. The other dates are September 8th and 15th, October 13th and 20th. November 10 and 17, December 8 and 15. We are also looking forward to a conversation with Art Fennell from Art Fennell Reports in Philadelphia, Milo Jackson, creator of Grown Man Logic in Texas. So stay tuned. Check out the website later on this evening for those dates if you missed it. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you then. Okay, let us introduce our guest for today. Mr. Randy Payne is from the suburbs of Washington, D.C. He was educated in the Maryland public school system. Randy attended University of Notre Dame on a football scholarship. He earned a BA degree there. Later, he attended a graduate school of Syracuse University, earning an MS. After college, Randy briefly worked as an account executive with AT&T Long Lines before joining the Navy to live out his adventure. Worldwide military service consisted of both active and reserve duty for over 25 years. Recently retired from the Navy at the rank of commander and former pilot, he is now currently employed as a defense contractor in the D.C. metro area. Randy, you sound hot. Also, let's be sure that Randy has been divorced twice. He has a beautiful daughter. She's 13 years old, and he is in love with his beautiful daughter, he says. Randy's interests are prayer and meditation, fitness, literature, science, geopolitics, and cultural events. There's nothing like a well-rounded brother. So, Randy, are you ready to talk about love?
As ready as I ever will be.
You are.
Yes,
I know
I
you and I have had some serious, I love in-depth conversations, and which is why I wanted to invite you to our show, because your thought process, I thought, was so profound.
Well, I'm glad you invited me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for agreeing to be here. And like I said, our topics will center around love. And I want to share that, to get into it, I think men see relationships more concrete, and women see them more emotionally. So there oftentimes there's a misconception of how men handle their emotions. Personally, Randy, maybe over the last 15 years, I've learned that men do have the same emotions for love as women. You guys just express them differently. And I believe that women, at least I did sometimes, still want the man to express himself the way we do. And when he doesn't, we feel abandoned, sometimes angry, which of course is selfish. So today, you know, I'm a big self-checker when it comes to expecting the man in my life to express himself the way I do. And with that, you know, with heartbreak, you know, we don't see a man with a broken heart like how you express how you men feel with a broken heart. Tell me, Randy, have you experienced a broken heart, a true broken heart?
Oh, yes. But before I go on any further, I just want to kind of loosen things up. I think it's kind of appropriate. With there was a comedian by the name of Bob Edinger, and and one of the things that he said, and I thought it was so humorous, but it's almost kind of what you can expect when you're in a relationship. And what he says is, relationships are hard. It's like a full-time job, and we should treat it like one. If your boyfriend or girlfriend wants to leave you, they should give you 2 weeks' notice. There should be severance pay, and before they leave you, they should have to find you a gym.
I like that.
Yeah, but, so I thought it was pretty interesting. But yes, men, yes. So to answer your question, have I experienced a true broken heart? Yes, I have. I've had my heart crushed. At one point, it was crushed so bad that I felt physical pain. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, and just could not believe that I was being dumped when I thought I had a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, men do express it. Oftentimes we do it alone, or we may have a good friend in which a lot of times we turn things inward. And it's difficult. Men right now, I think they're learning how to express themselves. But you have to understand, and even though this is kind of anecdotal, but we've been more or less culturalized to bear the load and to keep going. For example, three little girls are playing double dutch in the schoolyard. One girl falls down, she scrapes her knee, they immediately stop the game and go over and tend to the little girl to make sure she's okay, and guess what? They don't double dutch anymore. However, Johnny's out there playing football with the guys in the schoolyard. He falls down, scrapes his knee. They tell him to get over to the sideline and bring Billy in the game. The game goes on. So
game goes on.
Yeah, the little guy is on the sideline. He's hurting too. He needs love. He needs a hug. His knee hurts. He doesn't get it. And so that is the kind of culture. You know, we persevere to go through. And so, as I said, we're sometimes culturalized into believing that we have to bear everything inside. And then when we do, we get to a point where it becomes a problem in relationships due to the fact that we do not express ourselves. Because a woman will always talk and express a relationship. You know, it's been said that women speak more words than men in an average day, you know, throughout their life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're, the idea is like the tall, strong, silent type. Well, I don't think you really want somebody that's totally silent. You have to have somebody that can express an opinion. And a lot of times, we stay bottled up so much that it comes out when we, you know, we either break down or we reverse the love, and it comes out in ways that are not too favorable to the relationship, such as anger and frustration. Or sometimes when a woman is trying to get a guy to talk, it's as he's being nagged. And it's not nagging. Mm-hmm. She just wants to say, see me, look at me, talk to me. I'm here for you. I'm not trying to tear you down.
Right.
Yeah. So how do you get over a broken heart? Sometimes you never do. Broken heart is grief. Just like having the loss of your closest loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time. It takes time. The pain may go away, but the memory still remains. And some people never get over it.
Right.
They go into deep depression. They turn to different forms of self-medication to try to deal with it. It can be quite a stressful time in a person's life.
Yes. Randy, where do you think that culture started with men not being allowed to express their emotions?
I wish I had an answer for that. To my best guess, men are supposed to be strong, and not supposed to be weak. Before the services really started to, say, you know, take people from all across the board, regardless of gender, it was mainly men, and you're supposed to be tough. You know, you got to go out here and fight the wars, and you look at media and look at the movies and you read the books. You know, tough guys. Look at Roger Mosby. His series of books that he's written, and his guys are tough. So we equate manliness with being tough. So if you happen to want to show a sensitive side, a more emotional side of yourself, then you're regarded with suspicion. You'll just never see guys in the locker room saying, you know, I'm really having a bad man day. Can I get a hug? That would never happen. You're not gonna see it. You know, can I get a hug? You know, they're gonna be like, you better get away from me. Now, women, they'll get in there, they might have a breakdown, and they'll give each other hugs. It's only recently, I would say, like in the last maybe 15, 20 years, the guys are giving hugs.
Yes.
But they just grab each other's arm and they bump shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be a full frontal hug. You do the full frontal hugs with the ladies. But the guys kind of head on the shoulder. But that is becoming more and more of a standard greeting now. It used to be just the old soul shake, and now it's not anymore. You know, guys are meeting each other and showing true affection. And I think a lot of it's probably because of the time that we're living in, and we realize that we cannot stay in that so-called macho man place anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Those Neanderthal-like attitudes just not going to fly. Because women are smarter. Women know what women may not know what they want, but they know what they don't like.
Exactly. Yes, I do, Randy.
They know what they don't like. So, and I mean, they're not staying around for to listen for the nonsense anymore. They don't mind a guy having a sense of the time, but they still want him to be strong also, because a woman likes to be cherished. She likes to be protected, to feel protected. And to be respected. I like to look at love as being a rut.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, what do you mean by a rut? You know, I'll say, well, each letter stands for something. First of all, it's three letters, so you've got a triangle. And each leg of that triangle represents something. And a triangle is a very strong structure if you ever look at it.
Right.
But if you take one away, it falls apart. And the RUT stands for respect, understanding, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of essential for a relationship, but you also have to be transparent. And I think the sooner you get into showing the transparency right up front, meaning, okay, if you have some issues and you're a little reluctant to talk about them, and then you're going to wait to like 3 years down the road, then you bring it up and say, oh, why didn't you tell me?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little late. I think people appreciate the honesty right up front because at least they know what they're dealing with. They're not dealing with someone who is keeping secrets. I hate to use that word, but essentially, allow yourself. I mean, don't feel like if you're with someone and you're keeping all this information hidden to yourself, just let it loose. You don't have.
But then that comes with maturity, though, as well, right, Randy?
Yeah, yes, it does. Yes, it does. I mean, sometimes it comes with maturity, and a lot of times it just comes with a couple of quick, hard knocks upside the head.
Yeah. But I grew up in a household where my father hugged my brothers and vice versa. So you are right. Men are even more so now expressing themselves by hugs. But I wanted to back up a little bit, Randy, because, I was reading a little bit of Ephesians, and it indicates that, Jesus grieved. He had a broken heart. He was sad. And also, the Bible tells us that the man is the head of the household. So, it made me think and wonder, did we misinterpret the head of the household as being this concrete structure and not a human being of a man? And then when I look at women, when women are the head of the home, like I was, a part of me, I had to harden a lot of who I am in order to make ends meet. Sometimes working 2.5 jobs and then being a mom at the same time was very, very, very tough. So I think, as times changed, as the economy changed, as we've become more liberated, if you will, that is placed that misconception on men that you're not human. Sometimes we don't look at you as being human. Like the boy who scrapes his knee, he needs a Band-Aid, just like the girl who scrapes her knee. So I agree with you there. You're exactly right. Randy, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Everyone, you're listening to Randy Payne. He is in Washington, D.C. We're talking about love. When we come back, we'll talk about can you be in love and alone? Okay, I'm going to ask you to rewind some of what you said. You were saying that it's important for a man to understand love, love himself as a total individual before he can share love with someone else.
Yeah, you have to do that because if you're looking for someone to try to make up a deficiency in your life, those deficiencies will still remain there unless you work on yourself. And you have to be emotionally available. And a lot of times guys aren't emotionally available. They're there for the physical, and sometimes they're there partially emotionally, but you have to be 100%. And you should not have to be afraid to express your emotions to somebody. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you sought that person, and you want to love them, and you want them to love you back. And it's only fair. Women are better at it than guys are, but we're coming around. So there really is no shame to love deeply mm-hmm. without fear. But you have to be true to yourself. You have to know yourself completely within. And then just trust your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your heart. Because
so, Randy, it sounds like that's the foundation. When a man says, I'm ready now to find a mate or get married,
yes.
Is he at that place where he's in love without a woman? Now he knows he's ready?
Yes. He'll know, because every time he sees that woman, his whole body changes, his whole countenance changes. He glows. He's proud to be with her. He wants her part of his life. not that you have to be around him 24 hours a day. I mean, that would drive somebody crazy. But the point of it is, he reveres this woman, he adores her, and he just wants to be a helpmate with her for the rest of his life.
Right.
And that's the thing. Again,
how can a woman tell, Randy, if a man is emotionally ready? What are some of the signs she should look for when he's not?
Well, one thing is, one of the common questions that comes from the ladies to the guy is, do you love me? And sometimes he might be hesitant to speak about that. That might be a sign.
Is that not a loaded, dangerous question?
Well, it's a loaded, dangerous question, but after a while, if you're with someone, first of all, he should be able to express that freely of himself. For some reason, we get a little bit upset, or a little bit, I shouldn't say upset, we get a little bit anxious when we discuss the word love, because for us, you know, when you say you love a woman, then that means, okay, I'm really committed now. And you know, sometimes a guy will leave skid marks trying to get out of the room. You know, you can smell rubber burning on the ground. It is different. I mean, a woman would have to just really see how in tune this guy is with his emotional self. Is he emotionally available? And I think that's the key. If he's emotionally available and he can express himself, if he can hold her, or even, I mean, guys cry too. We don't like to cry sometimes, but we do. And he should not feel ashamed to cry. But again, that's part of the development. That's part of the stage. I mean, you shouldn't be too put off by the fact that you're trying to get somewhere with someone. And the woman needs to be emotionally available, too, because there are a lot of women who have been battered and bruised, and now they become bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I will never allow myself to love again. Well, that's unfair. That's unfair to the next person, because that one person might be the one for you.
Right.
So, and remember, love always endures. It never goes away. You have so much love in you, it overflows. So just be aware of that fact. You can repair a broken heart. Just give it time. That's all it is, just time. And knowing yourself, and just be keep your eyes open. Just be a little more cognizant of the person that you're dealing with. And sometimes they give you warning signs right off the bat, but you ignore them. Because sometimes we get lonely and we want somebody and we'll just ignore everything, and you cannot ignore warning signs.
Right.
Remember all
so
the
Randy does. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead,
ma'am. Does a man, can you teach a man to be ready, or is it a natural growth process? I know oftentimes I may see a 45-year-old man with cornrows, baggy pants and high top sneakers that are untied. So if a woman looks like at that physically, we see that physically, and so we equate that with the mental maturity. In other words, do men make a conscious choice to say, okay, now I'm ready, or is it a natural growth that you all cannot control?
I would say it's a little bit of both. But I would say the majority of it is a natural growth. And
okay.
I think you might be with someone, and I think some of us, it's not gender specific, it's just either men or women. There's always somebody in our past that we might have had a relationship, and said, if I could only roll back the hands of time and start over. Because they realized that person was a really, really good person to them. Meant no harm, and then all of a sudden they get out there again, and they found out that everybody is not up. You know, well, in a sense, almost end up comparing the next person with the one, the missed love or the unrequited love of their life. And you have to take accountability of some of your past actions. That's one of the hardest things for some of these guys to figure out.
Right.
There's an equation, and half of that equation is you. You have to take accountability.
Exactly.
And if you don't want to step up to the plate and take accountability, somebody else will.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And so, yes, men know. And sometimes they're blinded by certain things, too. They don't really take into account certain things. Again, if you're having arguments all the time and you don't agree on a lot of things, and then you're going to get married thinking that that's going to just chase it all away, it doesn't work that way. You have to work at it.
Right, that's a misconception. Exactly.
You have to work at it. You have to be there for each other all the time. And
Do you think having a daughter now it's changed your perception of relationships?
It has, because I have a very good relationship with my daughter. And looking at her, I really don't want her to go through a lot of nonsense with people. So I kind of wrote, it was back in 2000 when the new millennium was coming out. I wrote a little funny piece for some of my friends about Uncle Randy's New Millennium Guide to Romance. It was like a 10-point, it was a 10-point guide. You know, it was kind of humorous. So, I mean, one of the things that I had in there is that good looks expire in 30 days. I mean, sometimes we just get totally wild by a person, the way they look, and then after about 30 days, you get tired of looking at them. And then
I like that.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, you know, you were dealing with the agent, and now you're dealing with the real person.
Now the real person.
Yeah, and never get involved with anyone that's dumber than you are. that could be a disaster.
You have to send me a copy of that book.
Oh, my little guy? Yeah.
Yeah, send me you have to send a copy.
Yeah, so... And then familiarity breeds more familiarity. That means, like, when you're around some of the relatives, go ahead and question the relatives and see how, you know, what their opinion is of that person. Also, you can see a lot of things, too, just by how they treat the members of the sex in their family.
Right.
You know how they treat their children, how they treat others. Are they compassionate? Are they open to people? I mean, are they just a genuinely good person? Well, if they're always bitter and complaining about everything, then, you know, maybe that should be a way to back off. Because you want someone that you're going to be around with. Hey, you know, you're going to be in a social setting. You don't want somebody who's going to just, like a guy coming in with the cornrows and sagging pants and, you know, untied shoes and he's 50 years old. I say, come on. what are you trying to say?
Right.
That you're hip, that you're with it, and that you can roll with the youngins?
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, it's okay to act young and have a young attitude, but sometimes you just have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, it's not going to work anymore.
Right, right.
I'm
sorry, Randy.
No, I just said just move on with the age group.
Yeah, you're right. I know one thing that I have learned to do, and I'm sharing with the women that I talk with, pay attention to the little things. You know, and a friend of mine said, Levana, I think you're bipolar, you know. And I said, no, it's just that I pay attention to things that I didn't before, and it's enabled me to make good decisions as to who I want in my space. You know, and like you say, pay attention to how they relate to other people, their children, parents, friends, even the man at the grocery store, a janitor. That speaks volumes as to the character of that particular person, you know. So I said it may be 90% of you I adore, but if your 10% is my biggest pet peeve, then it's not going to work, you know. So, and I have joy in my life for that. I'm happy because of that. I just wish I knew that earlier, but it's okay. You live and you learn.
Yeah, it's pretty weird how you gain wisdom just as you get in your later years, and the whole thing paying attention to little things. I remember when I was going through flight school, and one of the things they drummed into our head time and time and time again: attention to detail.
Right.
Attention to detail, because if you overlook something that's small, it's going to loom to be a larger problem. Next thing you know, you got a catastrophe on your hands, and now you're 30,000 feet over the Atlantic Ocean. There's not really an emergency field that you can land for at least a couple of hours. So you know, you're going to have to make some critical decisions. So, yeah, it's the little things that add up to the big ones. And sometimes people always say, well, is there a way, is there a place, how do you meet somebody with those traits? I mean, right now everybody's going on the Internet and doing Internet dating. For some people it works, some people it doesn't. But you got to realize that, you know, you're dealing, you can't believe everything you read. But if you go, I think if you do activities that you enjoy doing, you'll find people who have the same similar interests. So, you know, if you go to a bar and you meet a guy there and you find out he has a drinking problem, where did you meet him?
Exactly.
You met him at a bar.
So, you know, you're
kind of rolling the dice on that, you know, on the type of person you might meet. But if you go to a bookstore and you're sitting there reading, you meet somebody there, well, you say, well, at least you know he can read.
You're exactly right. Randy, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, and I'm going to share with you some bullet points by Willard Hurley, Jr. He authored a book called His Needs, Her Needs, Building an Affair-Proof Marriage. And he mentioned there were five basic needs of a married man. And the first is sexual fulfillment. The second, recreational companionship. Third, an attractive spouse, domestic support, and admiration. Do you agree that these are basic things that men need in a relationship? Now, of course, this is, doesn't apply to everyone.
Yeah.
But do you agree with these five basic needs?
I would say I could apply to women also. But, yeah, everybody wants an attractive spouse. But attractiveness is an eye of the beholder. I tell people, right, point blank, I am the most gorgeous, handsome man in the world. I am the most gorgeous, handsome man in the world. Everybody else just looks different. And you can apply that for a woman, too. You know, you are the most gorgeous, beautiful woman in the world. Everybody else just looks different. Just looks different. You know, I think, you know, sexual fulfillment, but that's not going to last forever. But that is a basic component of a marriage. And you should have intimacy in which you both are catering to each other's needs. I forgot the other one.
Domestic support, admiration.
You know, you always want to be there to support your spouse, and your spouse supports you. That's just having each other's back, as the saying goes. I think the basic need of the man is communication. To me, you gotta have that. If you don't have communication, sometimes when I go to restaurants, I can always tell the people who are having. I can tell the ones who are married and the ones who aren't.
Oh, wow, really?
In a lot of cases. I don't even have to look at their hands to see if they're wearing a ring or not. The ones who aren't are always talking and jabbering with each other. And the ones that are married, a lot of times they're just sitting there just eating and not even engaging in eye contact. I mean, as I've been painting a stereotype, but just do a quick scan and do it. And then when you see the ones that are really happy, they're just laughing, they're touching each other on the hands and doing all kinds of cool things.
That's interesting.
I kind of agree with some of what he says, but I wouldn't say sexual fulfillment is number one, even though that's, you know, we guys are very visual and we tend to look at things like that. But I think number one fulfillment is, because here's the thing, sex can go away very quickly. You can get bored with it. And it happens. You have married couples out here who have not had intimacy in almost 2 years.
Now, wow.
Yeah, where's the fulfillment there? You're living in a prison. That's abuse.
Wow.
Yeah, if there's nothing physically wrong with them, they should be, you know, loving each other. Mm-hmm. So I think communication is probably number one, because you want somebody to communicate, someone that you love dearly, who you feel a very strong bond with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that comes over the relationship, and you know that comes with domestic support and all that. And of course, you want somebody that's attractive, but one person's attractiveness is not necessarily somebody else's. I mean, some guys look. I see some guys say, "I would never go out with a woman that's heavier than me." And they come up with all these standards, and I'm going, "Okay, well, are you meeting those standards that you're putting on women?"
Right.
Yeah. Hey, women like the guy to look nice.
Yes, we like a little six pack too every now and again.
Yeah. Well. I can't say I got a six pack. I got a keg, and that's a chick. It has more volume.
More volume, okay.
Yeah.
Now, Randy, here are the basic needs for a married woman.
Okay.
Affection.
Attention.
Conversation. Honest openness. Financial support. And family commitment. Do you agree with those?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's what men should be striving for. Affection. Attentiveness. Mm-hmm. Sitting down with your spouse. I mean, you don't even have to say anything. Just sit there with them and hold them.
Right.
Just curling up on the couch and just holding each other.
Mm-hmm.
And not say anything, just resting.
Right.
Financial commitment, openness, that's honesty. That's the whole thing of bonding and being able to relate to your significant other. Financial support, well, that's a deal breaker right there. You'll see more people at each other's throats when it comes to finances.
When it comes to finances, you're right.
She wants to get a pair of shoes. He wants to get the big screen TV. Meanwhile, bills are piling up and no one's paying attention.
Well, do you believe there should be three different checking accounts? One for you, one for me, one for the house?
Yes. Why not? Let's look at it this way. When I was on active duty, it was encouraged to have your spouse have a separate account. It wasn't that you're trying to create a secret fund. That was to protect the spouse in case I ended up in a mishap.
Right.
They would freeze all my assets that had my name on it, my social security number on it, until it was all legally settled. This way, your spouse is protected in terms of, okay, she'll have an account in which she can draw money and she won't be out there becoming destitute or something of that sort. But it's good to have that. I mean, have a kind of, but you have to sit down and talk this out. You just can't go in and say, well, we need to do this, because sometimes that breeds suspicion. Well,
right.
Why do you want to have a separate account? Why don't we put our money together? Well, there are a lot of guys out here living in the basement of mom and them house because their accounts ended up getting drained.
Right.
No, I'm just listening.
Yeah, I find that there's a shift now. There are more men seeking affection and conversation and honesty and openness. And the women now are seeking sexual fulfillment and recreational companionship. I'm seeing that shift. And when I first started the conversation series, I had more men. They were very excited that a lady was concerned about how they communicate and the fact that they can communicate more so than the women.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing a shift in the roles. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yes, I am. And I think a lot of it has to do with women are really have really come into their own. I mean, you think about it. We have, we got a woman that's the head of an intelligence agency. You got two Secretary of State that were women. A woman was head of the National Security Council. And I mean, you just have their president, they ended up being the presidents of universities and all sorts of things. I mean, there's nothing that they can't do.
Right.
And as a result of that, they've been really more assertive. Some people say they're being aggressive. I just say assertive. Just going for what they want. Sometimes they just want, like you say, a recreational companion.
Right.
Because men have been doing it for years.
Exactly.
And a woman was expected to just stand idly by and accept it, saying, oh, well, men will be men. Well, women have needs, too.
Exactly.
If they got an itch, they're going to find somebody to scratch them.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be surprised. Some of these guys just think, you know, they take the women for granted. As if, I got it like that, no matter, I can do whatever I want, she's still going to just be there for me. But then when she turns around and does the same thing, they can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And guys sometimes have a problem with dealing with women who are firmly aware of what their needs are and who they are and how they go about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you find more women dumping guys now. It used to be the other way around. If not you, it's me. The women say, look, this ain't working out for us. I'm gonna start seeing other people. And then the guy goes on to this last-minute full-court press trying to impress her and say, well, you didn't do any of that before.
Right.
Now why are you trying now? You took me for granted. You were all over town with everybody, and now you all of a sudden, now you're talking about you want to be committed, that you love me? Nope, time to move on.
Interesting. So, Randy, with that, how do you think a woman – well, let me back up. Men often say to me during my conversations that woman is in control. Yet, oftentimes, it doesn't appear that way when we are in the relationship. So how can the woman, I don't want to say win over, but how can she get the respect of the man so that a harmonious relationship can start to flourish? What are some of the deal breakers when it comes to earning respect and losing respect?
Well, to earn respect, you have to be true to your word. You have to be true to yourself.
Be your authentic self.
Your authentic self.
Yes.
If you sense something that's a little bit out of place, there's a reason why you're feeling that. Just like right now, we're just nothing but a bunch of energy pulses that are just constantly snapping and, you know, firing and everything else to make us talk, move our hands and everything. So you got to figure there's an energy field. And sometimes when something is negative, it will come off of that. You might not be able to put your hands on it, but it just feels odd. And the woman has to respect herself. She can't allow the guy to run over her. And the guy has to also respect the woman. He has to see her.
Mm-hmm.
He has to really see her as a person. Someone who has the same feelings and everything else. And if you really want to get down to it, would this person treat their sister or a friend this way?
Right.
And more times than not, the answer would probably be no.
Mm-hmm.
So what it comes down to is that you have to, well, I guess to put it in a nutshell, you have to stand up for yourself. You don't have to be belligerent. Just say, I'm offended by that. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then if you constantly have to repeat it, then that's what's going to happen. He's not respecting you. And there are some guys, I hate to say, they're dinosaurs. They feel that, you know, the woman should be obedient to them.
Right.
And that's going to be, you know, very chauvinistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other guys, they want the woman to carry the whole load, to be responsible for the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a burden because she's doing too much work. The guy has to come forward. You know, you have to meet each other halfway.
Right.
And sometimes you don't even have to go halfway. Just go, if one person comes 60 and one comes 40, you know, you still get up to 100%, so you can make it work. You have to sit down and be observant, but you have to be true to your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do that, the man will lose respect for you.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we make mistakes, and we ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, it works both ways. But if you mess up again, don't be surprised that everything gets ended.
Well, Randy, how do you know when you're in love? Do you get butterflies in your belly?
you know, I still get that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you meet somebody and you're trying to speak to them and all of a sudden you're stuttering and you sound like a babbling idiot like you're in junior high school or something. Well, how do you know you're in love? Well, that person's on your mind. And they're on your mind a lot. And you want to do, you want to be with them.
Yeah.
You enjoy talking with them. You love their presence.
Mm-hmm.
And even after 6 months, that's almost kind of when people kind of, okay, the fog has been lifted. Okay, now we're no longer in the honeymoon phase of the relationship. The 30 days has expired. We're dealing with the real person rather than the agent. Now here you are around 6 months, and now we're looking at, okay, sustainment of the relationship.
Right.
Because you've gone out to dinner, you've done everything. So now, what do you do after 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
If you can still look that person in the eye, and they bring a smile to your face, and you enjoy holding their hand or just giving them hugs, and life is grand, you know you got a love thing on your hand.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
I've had guys during my conversation say that. They tell women, if a man gives you his time and his money, that's a good indication that he is in love with you. Do you agree with that?
Boy, that's a good one. Time and money.
Because it's hard to get you guys away from NFL Sunday.
yeah, but sometimes that's like being sugar daddy.
You're right.
Time and money, you know, you got to define that. You got to drill down into the weeds a little bit deeper to get that. I mean, and hey, you know, football Sundays, hey, have her join you, or
right. You
join her with some other activities. Make it up. I don't know. I think if a man is willing to communicate with this lady and spend time with her.
Mm-hmm.
I think most women, they just want the time. They just want the time.
Right.
They want the time, and they want to be heard. They want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being with somebody, and also touch, just to hold them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be intimate all the time. Just being able to hold someone, you know, and look into their eyes, and they can see a peace there,
mm-hmm.
a comfort.
Right.
And every time you hear that person's name or you see them, they make you feel comfortable. They stand
mm-hmm.
for comfort. So, yeah, time and money, but money is, but see, men try to buy women with money. Yeah, I can get you these furs, I can get you some new bracelets, buy you some new socks. And
you said socks?
Socks, yes. You know, women like socks.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a trap. It's a trap because
mm-hmm.
it becomes a fallacy. Because what happens when the money goes away?
Right.
Something happens to the money. Is she gonna leave? No. So to me, I think the qualities that a man should have in terms of being in love with somebody,
mm-hmm.
They're not monetary.
Right.
It all comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
things will change. Your body will change physically. Finances will change.
Mm-hmm.
Can you endure? Can you sustain the relationship?
Right.
Yeah. Do you really love this person enough to say, yes, I'm committed to you for the rest of my life?
Wow.
And if a man says to you, I will wash your feet at night and feed you breakfast in bed, then yeah, you got something going on there.
Oh, wow. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. They put your order in the night before while I'm washing your feet and while you paint your toenails.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, everyone, we are talking with Randy Payne out of Washington, D.C. We are talking about love. Can a man be in love without a woman? Yes, he can. Randy, we are about to end this conversation.
Okay.
Can you give the ladies one last tip for landing the man of her dreams?
Okay.
You've got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Make sure he respects you, he understands and trusts you. And just learn to be yourself. And because if you're not fully sure of yourself or confident of yourself, it's going to be hard. And just do whatever you like to do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to a club to meet somebody. Just do your regular activities. They will come. And just think that, yes, there's somebody out there for me. There's no formula for this. It's just a matter of just, if you radiate from the inside out, people immediately sense that. And mm-hmm. that's how you do it. You know, radiate from the inside out. Love yourself first. Don't look for somebody to try to love you and make you who you are to say, making me whole. No, you're already whole. You are complete. You are complete as you are. So just love yourself first.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I've always said two whole people coming together make a beautiful relationship. I've always said that. Well, Randy, it has been a complete pleasure having this conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you
and
for inviting
me. I'm sorry?
I said thank you for inviting me.
Oh, yes. And you will be invited back. but everyone, if you have any input or questions or if you want to make comments, please go to blackpearlimage.com. There's a comment section there for you to submit your questions. If you would like to be a guest on our conversation, you can go there as well. But we thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next week with Leona Dinkins and Bishop Kevin Long on Biblical Marriage versus a Committed Relationship. Everyone, you have a good night.